Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you, Jesus. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. Praise, praise, praise. We thank you for true happiness in you, Lord. Nothing else matters but our relationship with you, Jesus. So we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. What have we been talking about the last 2 or 3 weeks? What's that? What did he say?
God's word.
I know that. God's word, but in general, dwelling in the house of what? Dwelling in the house of the Lord. Listen to this now. Now, dwelling in the house of the Lord was used a lot in the book of Psalms, a lot. It's just a terminology. It's a terminology or figurative speech of a position that an Old Testament saint had. It wasn't a, he says, you know, to dwell in the house of God. It wasn't a physical dwelling like this, but a spiritual dwelling and an internal dwelling, a standing that we have in God. God, you are Lord, and it's a belief that he had. But David had figurative, he had an imagery, an imagination that was second to none. He was a warrior. He's the one that killed Goliath. And he had this mindset that he could never lose in battle. Tremendous mindset. Listen to what he said in Psalms, and I'm not going to keep you long. There's not many of us today. There's usually not many of us anyway. But listen to this now. What we're after is, what does it mean? A biblical definition of what does it mean to dwell in the house of God. So we're going to minister on what today? On what it means to what? Dwell in the house of God. So we're going to minister on today on what it means to dwell in the house of God. Say it with me. Say, today we're going to find out what it really means to dwell in the house of God. Today we're going to find out what the Bible says, what it means to dwell in the house of God. Okay. Now exclude the house of God in context being a physical dwelling. Now this is the house of God. We know that we walk in here and that we worship Jesus. We know that. This was a physical dwelling, but David is not making reference to a physical dwelling. Listen to this now. We're going to have class back and forth. The teaching's been real good lately, the last 2 or 3 months, just real basic teachings. That's what I want to do. I want to have a classroom with you. I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to read, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Listen to what David says in Psalms 27. He said, the Lord is my light. Listen to this now. Listen to what David says in Psalms 27. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Listen to this. Now, the Old Testament saints, they were men of valor. Back in the Old Covenant, it was evil versus good. Good was to do what to the evil? Basically, for what you know of the Old Testament, they're supposed to do what to the evil? Kill them. It was good versus evil. The good, the godly had to get the evil out of the land and basically kill them. Do you know we don't kill people no more? Not supposed to, at least. But listen to what they was a man of valor. God defended him so much in war and in battle. But David never lost a battle. He never lost a war. But listen to what he said. This is David's disposition. Listen to what he said carefully. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Listen to what he said. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who is the strength of David's life? Who? Now, can you imagine, Alex, if the Lord was the strength of your 1 hour weightlifting workout every day? You could what, Alex? And then some. With one arm, you could bench 500 pounds with one arm. Imagine, Elijah, if God was the strength of your life when you had that bat in your hand. Or Nathaniel when you played quarterback. Imagine. It would what you could accomplish would be unfathomable. You could do so much in having that godly confidence that God was everything in you. But here David writes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Listen to what David writes. He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen to that now. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. He said, whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Though an army, now David was a man of valor, a man of war. It was good versus evil in the Old Testament. Listen to what he said. Though an army may encamp against me, meaning though an army may surround me. Listen to what he said. Listen to this. Let these words digest in your heart. He said, though an army may encamp against me. He said, though I may be surrounded by my enemies completely all around me, and I'm in the midst of them, surrounded by a ferocious army that wants to take my life. It seems like all the odds are against me. I'm surrounded by my enemy. I'm in the midst of them. They're completely surrounding me. I have no way out. Listen to what he said. Though an army may encamp against me. Listen to what he said. My heart shall not fear. He goes on to say, the war. Listen to this. David says, the war may rise against me. He said, in this I am confident. Now, what are we after here? We're after the true biblical what? Meaning of what? Huh? We're looking for a true biblical meaning of what it means to what? To dwell in the what? In the house of the Lord. We've heard a lot of stuff throughout the years. We've heard that worship put us in the house of the Lord. We've heard that I preached it before a little bit off. We've heard that when we worship Jesus, that allows us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That is not true, not according to the scripture. Listen to what David said. The war may rise against me. He said, there's one thing that I'm confident in. He said, there's one thing I have desired of the Lord. Listen to this. He seems to change the subject a little bit. First, he quotes a couple of verses about who God is to him. Then he seems to change the subject. He said, there's one thing that I'm confident in, according to everything that I just said. He said, one thing I have desired of the Lord. Listen to this. And that will I seek. Listen to this. There's one desire that I have of the Lord. There's only one thing. This should be all of our disposition, my friends. Nothing else should be ahead of our desire to encounter God Almighty. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, that's not the case. Very few want him more than money. Very few want him more than fame. You want to know how I know? Ask me how I know. The maroon monster. My pastor is one of the most anointed men of God that I know. You want to know how I know that the body of Christ is entangled in the world? The maroon monster, it lives. The modern day church has given itself over to reasoning and to logic. It's a common statement now to hear Christians say, God, church is just a place made of block of brick. My friends, a fruit of loving Jesus, a fruit of knowing Jesus, a fruit of surrendering, I don't care what anybody in the world says. Hebrews says not to forsake the assembly. I've never seen a strong Christian that doesn't attend church habitually. To me, they don't exist. Somebody might tell you how strong they are in God. I've never seen a strong, compassionate, loving Christian that did not attend church on a habitual basis. Maybe Marty has an elder, maybe Gate has an elder. And they might exist. but there are a few. But David said, there's one thing. You know why? Because going to church is a fruit of what? Of what going to church, a fruit of what? Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody ever practices football without preparing for what? Nobody ever lifts weights to prepare for football without getting ready for the game. So if you're really serving God, you're really serving God, you just can't wait to congregate with the brothers and sisters on Wednesdays or on Sundays. It's just, it's a part of it. But David said all these words about God, how powerful God was to him. Then he said something that seems so out of line. He said, there's one thing that I desire of the Lord. One thing that I desire of the Lord. He said, there's one thing that I desire of the Lord. He said, the one desire that I have, he said, that will I seek. So there's a desire that I have for God. And the desire that I have, Julie, I'm going to seek after that desire. Well, David, what is that desire? What is that desire that you're seeking according to Psalms 27? He said, there's one thing that I have desired of the Lord. One thing, Mercedes, one thing I have desired of God. One thing I have desired of God, and the one thing that I desire, I'm going to seek after. He said, there's a want, a crying out inside of me to know the Almighty God. There's one thing that cries out within me that I want more than money, that I want more than wealth, that I want more than prosperity. There's one thing that I want more than a wife, than a husband. There's one thing that I want more than anything on the face of this earth. It's a desire for God. And the thing that I desire, I'm not going to just die having the desire inside of me. I'm going to seek after the very thing that I desire out of my soul. What was that, David? He said, there's one thing I desired of the Lord. That will I seek. Listen to what he said. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. Listen to me carefully. That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. My friends, he was not talking about a physical tabernacle, though at times he does, but in general, with figurative speech, he's saying, I believe in Jehovah God. Fortunately, my friends, as a new born again, Holy Ghost filled believers, by accepting Jesus Christ, we dwell in the house of God. But out of that, listen to this, you gotta listen, because the church has forgotten all about it. Let me ask you a question and answer it if you can. Do we live out of the engrafted word? Do we live out of the word? Do we live out of the unction? Do we live out of the commandments of God? Or do we live out of, 1 Peter calls it, the incorruptible? See, what do we live out of? What do we live to do? And what should, do we live out of these things that I just named? Yes, all of them. Every single one of them. Our walk, our kingdom is internal. With a belief that Jesus Christ is Lord. Unfortunately to some, Jesus Christ, your Lord, has just become a religious cliche. It has become words with no value. When you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, instantaneously, there's a lifestyle deposited inside of you. And we live out of that lifestyle. We live out of that love. We live out of those commandments. We live out of that unction. We live out of that engrafted word, the book of James. We live out of that incorruptible seed, 1 Peter. We live out of that love. You cannot be a Christian and say you didn't know sin was wrong If you're a Christian or you think you're a Christian and sin doesn't faze you, then you're not born again. Because along with that confession came a direct deposit of the conviction of heaven. And we live out of that conviction. You find me a miserable Christian. You find me an inconsistent Christian. You even find me a Christian that does not habitually go to church. You find me one that doesn't live according to the inward witness on a habitual basis. You can take that to the bank. When me and you, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm just trying to help you, man, on the true biblical definition of what it means to live and to dwell in the house of the Lord. To a born-again Christian, a New Testament Christian, to be born again, we've arrived and we dwell in the secret place of God. We live in the house of God through the rebirth. Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. There's a spiritual dwelling that I live in. And out of that confession, Judy, out of that confession, Alex, comes the instruction of Jesus Christ. And as I know to do good, or I know not to do evil, when I obey what's right, and when I don't obey what's wrong, I confess Jesus as Lord. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sin. Instantaneously, when you believed in your heart that Jesus was the Son of God, came an immediate deposit inside of you. And out of that deposit came the instruction of God to me and you on how to live our life in Him. All of a sudden now, premarital sex was wrong. You knew it because it lived inside of you. Cussing was wrong. Drinking was wrong. Smoking dope was wrong. Walking in unforgiveness was wrong. Walking in malice was wrong. Why? Because when you said yes to Jesus, all the instruction and the conviction of heaven came and dwelt inside of you. David said, there's one thing that I desire in my life, that this passion would return to the church, my friend. If you arrive, Pastor Roman, no, I'm not perfect. No, sir. No, ma'am, I'm not perfect. But David said, there's one desire that I have. One. Somebody was telling me the other day that I needed to do this with my money and do this and that. Let me tell you one thing. My calling isn't to make money. Though I have a great job and I got another good job right now that I'm part of, I find no glory in renting to migrant workers and charging them unbelievable amount of money and not reporting it to Uncle Sam. There's no glory in that. Well, you need to do this with your money. Get property, rent it out to illegal immigrants. They'll pay for a place to live. That goes against my conscience. Renting a rundown trailer or a rundown apartment to an illegal immigrant and charging him this crazy amount of money to make money, I'd rather die. I just ain't gonna do it. I don't have a desire to be rich. I don't have that desire. I don't have a desire to work overtime. There's one desire that I have, I can say that with all my heart. I wanna die to myself. And I want to live for Christ to the best of my ability. And David said, there's one thing that I desire. And I'm not telling you can't have a social life. That's not what I'm saying. But it can't have you. My boys, they want to prosper. Mathang is a real good quarterback. And Elijah's a good football player, baseball player. Judy was a good athlete in track. I want them to succeed. But if they do succeed in that avenue outside of Christ and their life is vanity, it means nothing. There's one desire that we should have. He said, there's one desire that I have, and the desire that I have I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Meaning this, they said, I believe in Jehovah God. And by me believing in Jehovah God comes the law, the Torah. And everything in me wants to live out of that law. And that's what it means to dwell in the house of the Lord. It was an Old Testament standing of faith confession. God, you are my God. And I live outside of that Torah. He said, David said, everything within me, all that's within me, to the best of my human ability. I want to live and dwell in the house of God. What do you mean by that, David? He said, I want to do everything that's right and live for God to the best of my ability. And friends, when we come to that place in our life, when as born again believers, we give our life to Jesus, we get filled with the Holy Ghost, we dwell in the tabernacle of God. And we live out of what's deposited inside of me and you. That's why Christians aren't happy. So very seldom will you find a Christian that worships God, because they have nothing to worship him about. There's so much flirtation with the world that they're consumed. And David said something that was so awesome in Psalms 18. Incredible statement. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. He said, the Lord lives. God was so personal to him. He said, I live to worship God. And I'm not dogging anybody. I want to help you. I want to show you what your errors are, as the Holy Ghost shows me what my errors are. God isn't a joy to you right now because there's sort of a flirtation with the world. He's not alive to you. He is and he isn't. The modern day church believes that I can call on the name of Jesus and live how I want. You don't believe me? Look. 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 He said, there's one thing that I desire, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The secret to David's power, the secret to David's might, the reason he never lost a battle, was because God was the strength of his life through what? Through David's habitual obedience to God's word. That caused him to dwell in the house of the Lord. That is dwelling in the house of the Lord. Me and you dwell in the house of the Lord figuratively by giving our life to Jesus Christ and living out of the instruction from within. I'm almost done. Quick example. You get born again. You give your life to Jesus. His love comes and lives inside of you. His instruction, his understanding, his conviction lives inside of you. Who do you think whispered to you not to hear that song on 105.5? Who do you think it was that whispered that to you? Who? The Lord. Who do you think whispered that song to you? Who do you think whispered that voice to you that told you that young man and that young lady was not the right one for you? That's what it means to dwell in the house of God. You give your life to Jesus and you live out of what's inside of that house. If you move into my house, my tabernacle, my residency, you're going to find a Hispanic what? Lifestyle. We eat refried beans. We eat tortillas. We eat a whole bunch of bacon and eggs. A Hispanic menu. If you move into my house, you're going to either adjust or you ain't going to get nothing to eat. Because that's what we eat. When you move into my house, into my residency, you're going to live according to what's in my house. When I move in to the residency of God the Father, I live according to what's in that resident. And what's in that dwelling, what's in that resident, is his instruction. It's kingdom instruction on how to live, the instruction on to walk in love, the instruction to walk merciful, the instruction to be compassionate, the instruction to walk with a forgiving heart. And as everything in me wants to obey what's right inside of me, that's what it means to dwell in the house of God. To David, it was to keep the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the blessings and the cursings of God. He gave his life to Jehovah God as my God. And with that confession came the first five books of the Bible that he was to meditate on day and night. And he lived out of what he deposited. That caused him to dwell in the house of God. And as he strove for that excellency, And as he strove to obey the law, God came and he recompensed him. David, you won't lose in battle because my ways are your delight, David. You want God to flex his muscle in your life, young lady and young man. You want God to flex his muscle and to give you an everlasting peace and a biblical prosperity and biblical peace and a happiness and a joyfulness inside of you. Live inside the tabernacle or the dwelling or the residency of God through Jesus Christ and walk according to the inward witness. Have you ever heard of anybody, I'm done in 5 minutes, have you ever heard of anybody worship God before they knew God? Anybody? Have you ever worshiped God as before you got born again? Has anybody ever worshiped God before they got born again? Never? You know why? Because you didn't know God. But modern day teachings state that worship puts you into this tabernacle. That worship, it's a man-made religion. There's nothing wrong with worship. That's not what I'm saying at all. You know what worship is? Worship is a true celebration of knowing God the Father. Worship is a true celebration of dwelling in the house of the Lord. We can worship him by saying things like, Father, I love you and I worship you today. I thank you that I am a son of the kingdom. I worship you just because I am your son. I have a heritage and an inheritance. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you're all that I need, that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, that I live because you're in me. I thank you, Father, and I worship you that sin has no power over me. I thank you, Lord, that I have rights as a son of the kingdom, and sickness, it cannot touch me, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. All worship does is enforce what we are in Christ Jesus. Little David, he brought these words up to me. Hey, Chubbs, you want a what? Hey, Chubbs, you want a tussle? See, David knows that he doesn't have to work. David knows that he doesn't have to toil. He knows that me and his mother are his providers, that we're going to bring home the groceries. He knows that his mother's going to prepare. He knows that we're going to put shoes on his feet, socks on his feet. He knows that we're going to provide clothes for him. That's what fathers and mothers do. See, he knows these things. He knows these things. He knows it is my love and my wife's love to take care of him because we brought him into this world. Well, then what is it about little David if he knows that he has all and abounds in me and my wife? It never fails to amaze me. Him, Nathaniel, even Elijah. And Judy just sits there and laughs as we wrestle like dummies in our underwear in the room. But David has these words and they touch my heart so much. It can be 11 o'clock at night. And he says to me, hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? Meaning he wants to wrestle with his dad. But you know what that tussling match does to him? See, he knows it. I'm his dad. He knows that he doesn't have to work, that I'm his provider. He knows that all he needs as a young man growing up, his dad will provide. But when he says those words to me as my little one, I can never tell him no. I've tried. I say, hey, Dad, hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? I said, okay, son, I'm a little tired. Let me take a 5-minute nap. When I wake up, we'll wrestle. Okay, Chubbs. So I go to sleep and don't wake up till 2 in the morning. Guess who's up at 2 in the morning? You ready, Chubbs? Give me a break, son. So here we are at 2 o'clock in the morning. The noogies. The wedgies. The poking in the eyes. The biting in the ear. The punching in the stomach. The tapping out. The punches in the face. He lives for that. Why? It's not the noogies that he likes. It's not the wedgies that he likes. It's not the extra hard punch that I didn't mean to punch him with hard that he likes. It's the embrace of his father. It's me wrestling with him at night, kissing him on the cheek and telling him over and over again how much I love him. Me and my boys, we wrestle in the room. I can't beat Elijah wrestling. He can bench press two of me. I can't beat him wrestling. But even at the age of 18, him and Nathaniel, they like to tussle with their old man. They like to feel the love of their father. David had this disposition. He said, I've arrived at a place where I dwell in the tabernacle of God. I arrived in the place where I want to live out of the word of God. But it's a continual thing, my friends. He said, therefore will I worship God in his tabernacle. Worship is a demonstration of the gratitude and thanksgiving of all that God is. Worship doesn't put me in the tabernacle of God, but yet worship enforces what I live inside of, which is the presence of the Almighty God. So for me and you to dwell in the house of God means one thing as born again believers. That's to know Jesus and to live a righteous life full of integrity. That's unheard of nowadays, my friends. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. Lifestyles are promiscuous. Popping cans is a dime a dozen now in the body of Christ. Pregnancies are in abundance in God's kingdom. I'm speaking corporately. I'm not, some of you saying, yeah, that's wrong talking to your daughter like that. No, I'm not talking. I'm talking corporately. I'm a proud granddaddy. Am I happy how it happened? No, I'm not. But I'm a proud granddaddy. Proud. I can't wait to see my little baby come into this world. I can hold her at night. Maybe tussle with her one day. I'm proud. Extremely proud. Did you get mad? Not one bit. I was disappointed. There has to be a difference. There has to be a separation of holiness. To dwell in the house of God, my friends, it is a continual lifestyle of knowing God, of living inside of his will. David said, there's one thing in this world that I desire more than anything. One thing. The thing that I desire, I'm going to seek after, and that is to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. 5 minutes and I'm done. Psalms 23, the last words that he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. Psalms 84, if you dwell in the house of God, you'll be evermore praising God. Psalms 91, to dwell in the habitation, he said, for you've made my God, my refuge, the Most High, your habitation, your dwelling place. When me and you put God first in our life, not through speech, not through cliche, but through lifestyle, nothing on the face of this world can defeat us. We can live our life till we're through, till we're 90 years old, and die in our bed in peace, asleep, or die as martyrs. They said, the Lord lives. God wants to live. He wants you to recognize that he lives, not just in heaven, not just in your heart, but that his ways are ways above ways. When you come to the place of dwelling in his house, of being born again, of living outside of what's right, that's when God, you just know that he lives. People, I hear people confess God's word that I know don't live right. I know they don't live right. It's almost in a sense of hypocrisy. Saying what they want to say to make it sound right, to make them, make people sense, to make people feel like they're living in a good place with God. David said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. He said, let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. The Lord is personal to me. He said in Psalm 63, God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. He said, my soul, it longs for you. My flesh seeks you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He said, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary. I've looked for you in the sanctuary in the midst of his heart. He looked for God because in Psalm 63, David was in the wilderness. There was no physical tabernacle there. He said, so I've looked for you in the sanctuary, in the sacred place of my heart. I've longed for you, Lord. I've longed for you. That's a continual thing for me and you, my friends. So meditate on the words that I just shared with you. Meditate on the lifestyle that the Holy Ghost is asking you to live by. Question yourself. Judge yourself. Examine yourself. Is he first in my life? Or am I full of logic? Am I full of reasoning? Am I full of excuse? Are my hands dirty? Is my mind dirty? Are my thoughts dirty? What's my ambition? What's my disposition? What do I want in life? Do I want to be a Christian or do I want to be a disciple? I'm here to help you, my friend. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help you, my friend. David said in Psalms 18, and I'm done with this, quoting this last verse. David said, the giant killer said this. He said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Listen to what he said. According to the cleanness of my hands in his sight has he recompensed me. Listen to what he said. He said, for me, King David, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and I have not wickedly departed from my God. He said, all his precepts were before me and I did not put away his statutes from me, but I was blameless in his sight. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. So the Lord rewarded me according to the cleanness of my hands. My hands weren't dirty. I lived my life to serve Jehovah God. Examine yourself. Are your hands dirty? Meaning, are you involved in a life of sin? If so, today you just ask Jesus to forgive you. And you find that place of intimacy. You find that place of praying in the Spirit. You find that place of depositing God's word into your soul. And you'll never be the same. It's a progression, my friend. But let it start tonight. Let it start tonight. We're taught so well here. There's not one Christian in here that should be struggling with sin. Habitually. Not one. There's one desire that I have, David said. And the desire that I have, I'm going to seek after. What desire did you have, David? I want to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. Not a physical tabernacle, but a spiritual tabernacle. A wanting and a longing that came from inside of his being. He said, God, all I want to do is obey you. And out of that standing, he was a worshiper. God, I praise you. I thank you that you are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my fortress. You are the horn of my salvation. I give you praise, oh God. We should be people of thanksgiving. You have been born again, my friends. If you died today, you'd be with Jesus Christ in an everlasting habitation. So I challenge you today. I challenge you today. Find those quiet times, man. Find those quiet times and worship God tonight. Celebrate who you are in him. Celebrate who you are today. Remember the words of my little David, a.k.a. Dangerous Dave, a.k.a. Crazy Dave, a.k.a. Little D, a.k.a. Babis, a.k.a. Dexter Livingston's. He made up his own name. Hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? Meaning, hey, Daddy, it's time for me and you to wrestle. Because I want you to hug me, Dad. I want you to hug me, Dad. I want you to kiss me on my cheek and tell me that you love me, Dad. See, David likes to celebrate what he has in me already. Tonight, celebrate what you have in God by going around with Jesus tonight. Close your eyes tonight on your bed. Mercedes, Julie, Alex. Close your eyes tonight on your bed. Don't ask him for nothing. Just thank him for giving you life, for giving you health and prosperity. Dwell in the house of God. Tomorrow when you're in school and the temptations of this world arise, live out of what's right. Dwell in the house of God. Dwell out of his instruction. Make a difference in this world. Make a difference. I'm going to make a difference, my friends. I'm going to make a difference. Come with me on this journey. I don't care if just one keeps coming. I'll keep preaching to just one. A day when nobody comes in, I'll stop. I'm not going to preach to a chair that looks at me and mocks me. If just one comes, I'm going to go forward with it. If just one comes. Just one. That's all I need to talk to. And we'll tear it up. Just one. Just one. We'll keep going. Just one. So do you understand now what it means to dwell in the house of God? This is about our fourth week teaching on the residency of God. To dwell in the house of God means to live a lifestyle that's in the God's kingdom. That's what it means to dwell in the house of God, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Live out of what you know to be right. Amen. Let's make a difference, man. Let's make a difference. There's a place that the church is yet to find. We come to the conclusion that the Lord lives. He's not dead, my friends. He's alive, exalted to the right-hand side of the Father. And we're full of him right now if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues as much as you can, man. Pray in tongues going to bed at night. Pray in tongues in school. Worship God for all that he is. Read your Bibles. Read them. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be miserable. You can live a joyful life in Christ and find him very interesting, but you can't find him interesting at a club. You can't find him interesting with a black and mild. It ain't gonna happen. You can't find him interesting with a joint in your mouth, with a beer in your hand, or laying up next to somebody. He's gonna be quite boring to you. He'll be quite boring to me. We're called to live a habitual life of righteousness, not a habitual life of darkness. Try me on this. Go home tonight. Open up your word. Give yourself 15 minutes tonight. Give yourself to the word. Worship Jesus. Pray in tongues. You only have to try to be better. He'll do that for you. Dwell in the house of God. Dwell according to what's right. And the recompense of it will be incredible. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about holiness in God. Something that isn't preached anymore in God. Amen. Are you with me on this little teaching? Are you understanding it, really? I got to know that you're... If you're not understanding it, I'm not doing my job. I'm not listening to the words of the Holy Spirit. I want to help you, my friends. I want to help you to make a difference. I want to help you to know and realize that the Lord lives. He desires to do exploits and miracles, signs and wonders in your life if you just let him. Amen. Go with the flow. I'm not telling you not to be a social person. I'm not telling you not to do this and that. My kids love sports and they'll continue to play sports and I'll continue to support them. I'm not saying don't have a social life. I'm saying don't let that come before him. Amen. Because I love watching my kids. I love watching Mercedes play. I love watching Elijah play and Nathaniel. I love watching Julie play in her days. I loved it. I'll always be there on my kids, for my kids. But I want my kids first and foremost to encounter Jesus. Because if they don't encounter Jesus on my watch, then I didn't do my job. I didn't live up to my bargain. Led them in the ways of righteousness. Right now it looks like I'm losing. I got two that don't want to serve God right now. They're not here with me, but it's okay. I'm not losing because I don't judge nothing in the natural. Because no one can keep me from praying for them. Never judge nothing in the natural, but in the spirit according to God's word. Amen? Amen? Are you really, really understanding this message? Are you really? Mercedes, are you understanding it? All right. Alex? Nathaniel? Rosie? Julie? Corey Beth? Huh? Marlo Inglés? That means yes. Josh Beth and Jordan Beth? Let's win this nation for Jesus, man. Let's win it. Judy's having a hot flash. She's over here doing this. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Jordan, pray for your son. You got a beautiful son. Lead him the right way. I'm going to have 7 grandkids. 7. 1 happy man. But I have no more. I'm going to be very upset. Let's encounter Jesus together. Let's encounter Jesus together. Let's dwell in his house. Let's dwell in his residency. Let's live his lifestyle. Amen. So Father, we thank you, worship you, and we praise you for all that you are. We thank you, Father. We have so much to rejoice in. So much to rejoice in, oh God. Because we have you. We have the Holy Spirit and we have your word. And we choose to dwell in your tabernacle, Lord. We choose to dwell in your residency and to live out of that lifestyle. So we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' precious, holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends.